Hey everybody, so I'm Tim Ninja with my friend Daniel. We're the podcast for SFN Reviews, where we really discuss any movie. So
any and all movies, all of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Daniel, Tim's friend. He's been an actor in some of my stuff. Yeah, we've been working together for like a while, right? Like at this point.
Yeah,
through the Atlanta Grill Filmmakers Film Collective. Yeah, we've just been having a good time. And yeah, man, it's good that we're making this happen. I'm really excited just to dive into some movies. I just feel like I really need an excuse, like per week, to talk about movies, just to really just get all out there, because like I have so much to talk about movies just pent up, and none of my coworkers want to listen to me. So, but
I wish they would, but at the same time, like,
yeah,
all you really knew about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, some of them like, you know, they're cool. Like everybody likes movies, right? So you know, I do talk to them about it, but I need to go in depth. I need to. Just through a release, so that's what this is all about.
Sure. At least a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, man. How's your week been? How are things?
These are going fine. They're going pretty good. Just can't believe the year's nearly over. It feels like New Year's Day
man.
23 was like a week ago or something like that.
Yeah,
it's insane.
I know. Yeah, life. Goes by fast.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Definitely.
That's adulting. Yeah. You see any good movies lately?
Terms of like both theaters and on video, some rewatches like Heat and American Psycho. But terms of theaters, yeah, I've seen Maestro, which is really good. And of course, Eileen, which I thought was solid. I actually went and saw the Renaissance Beyonce concert film, which is, well, somebody's not like a fanboy of it, but has but found some of her music catchy. It's like pretty enjoyable enough. And I will be seeing a Boy in the Heron tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard good things about it. I do want to see it at some point. Yeah.
So, what about you?
I've been watching a lot of stuff, a lot of good things. But I actually want to start with a shitty movie I saw very recently. It's a Hallmark movie. It's called like
the Hallmark movies.
It was called Christmas at the Amish Bakery.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I think that's the name. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a Hallmark movie. They're like a dime a dozen. Only reason I watched it is because our friend Brandon is in it. Shout out to Brandon Fox.
The guy who beat me and you won your films.
Yes, he did. He beat you good.
Yeah, thankfully much nicer than his character.
It's true. Yeah, no, he's a chill guy. But yeah, he played an Amish. He played an Amish guy in that movie. So that's the reason we watched it. It's like his like feature. It was a feature film. It was an hour and a half. And yeah, it's like your typical like Hallmark movie. Like you know how they go, right? It's like this like stupid love story where like you know these two people just like happen to meet, and it's like all Christmassy, and then Christmas brings them together, and all that bullshit.
Cliches.
Yeah, but this one at least had like an Amish. I mean, I guess you could call it a twist. not much of a twist, but you know, at least it was like kind of taking it from like a different perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
But honestly, like the entire movie, I didn't learn anything new about the Amish. Like, I don't know much about them anyway. And like you know, I just know they're a rather fundamentalist religious community for sure. But like, yeah, the movie doesn't explore any of it. It was just like it was basically about like this woman that like goes back to her home for Christmas, basically. And like she used to be Amish, but then like she left and to work in the real world, I guess. And then she finds this guy who, okay, he only described himself like as like a friend of the Amish, but I guess he lives there too. He just doesn't look Amish. It's really confusing. But yeah, it was very fun. We watched it with some friends, Brandon, his girlfriend, and like our friend Michael. And yeah, we had a good time just like riffing on it. It is, yeah, it was just so like, there was a lot of like stuff about like people accusing the main character of exploiting their family because she's like making like a cookbook or something.
Wow.
That she wants to sell. So I don't know. I guess in the Amish community, maybe that's like a serious thing, but I don't know. It was
now a movie. Yeah. Sorry, a movie regarding the Amish community that I would say is really good is Witness. Sorry, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
You seen it?
No, I haven't actually. I thought it was called The Fugitive though.
No, Witness. Witness. There is the Fugitive with Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh right, yeah.
And then there's Witness, which is the one about the Amish community. But also had like Danny Glover in there. Even like Viggo Mortensen had a small appearance of Lucas Haas or Hayes, however you pronounce his last name, Haas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I haven't been into the Fordverse yet. But I mean, I've seen like, you know, Indiana Jones and like Star Wars and stuff. And a couple other things he was in. But yeah, definitely gotta check that one out.
Yeah, it's good.
Also, another good one I like was Women Talking. That was really good.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot. More of a very, very negative view of the Amish. I mean, I guess if the Mennonites count as Amish, I don't know, but
or whatever the religious group is, like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think they're like Mennonite in that movie, I recall.
It was interesting enough, it was directed with Sarah Polley, the director, who is from my understanding also an atheist, so.
Yeah, well, I guess I could kind of glean that from the film, considering how critical it was of the Mennonites. But no, it's a good movie. But yeah, so
it is. Yeah,
yeah. So this Hallmark one is I would not recommend. But I guess I'll say this. You know, Brandon, he was really good in it. Okay, he was like he played just like an Amish guy who was like the brother-in-law of the main character, and yeah, you know, he was there. I mean, the bar was very low anyway, because all the acting was like atrocious. But
so he's basically the Oscar winner in comparison.
Yeah, well, actually, there was another guy who played like the main character's father. He was really good. He reminded me of who's the guy? Jeff Bridges in True Grit. That's what he sounded and acted like. It was like he's like in the Rock movie. He's like he should be like in a post-apocalypse or a western. It's just but he has like such an amazing voice, and like he like the dialogue was really horrible, but somehow he just elevated it. It was just, you know, how he talked. It was, yeah, so he was really good.
So he seemed more fit like in, let's say, the first project the Atlanta Girls filmmakers group did.
Yeah, he'd be good for Aftermath. He would be good like in Last of Us, or like The Walking Dead, Deadwood. Yeah, he would be like a lot better in those movies. So
yeah, unlike one of the cast members that like people noticed on set phoning it in Aftermath. Was there anybody who phoned it in?
What, you mean the movie?
Yeah,
like all of them. I mean, not all of them. Not Brandon and that another guy, but everybody else. Yeah, like phoned it the hell in. Like so much so that even the kid actor was like a step above them, you know. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a Hallmark movie. I guess a lot of people there are just for the paycheck, so, you know. And I mean, Brandon, I don't know if he's ever been in a feature. I believe he has been, but this is like the one that's actually been like released like on TV, you know, by a major network.
Besides like being a background actor, like, I haven't, like, had a speaking role in a feature film, but I'm hoping to get there.
Yeah, knock on wood, man. Thanks. Sure. Yeah, definitely sure you will. But, yeah, so, yeah, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it at all. But
no.
It was a lot of fun to make fun of. So, there's that.
At least like The Room, but not like Heat or American Psycho, which I thought were genuinely great.
Yeah, no, those yeah. And like those are funnier in comparison to like intentionally.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll get to some good movies I saw. So yeah, I watched Napoleon again. I watched it for the second time, actually, with my friend Brandon Michael and some of the friends of us of ours, in the theater. And yeah, I don't know, man. I guess I'm still kind of mixed on it, actually, because like, that's how I felt the first time I saw it, and I still kind of feel the same way. I'll say though, like knowing like what was about to happen, it was a lot funnier. I guess it was also because like I was sitting next to my friend Michael, and like we're very much like, you know, we're just together. We just like start like cracking jokes like left and right, and we just can't stop laughing. And to the point where like Brandon actually got irritated with us because we were like laughing so loudly. So, yeah, because like we were just like all the sex scenes and stuff was just so funny, and like. Yeah, just a lot of like the way Joaquin Phoenix acted, it was just so ridiculous.
Honestly though, Napoleon, like that movie should have been great.
Yeah.
I mean, it had almost all the ingredients. I mean, you had Ridley Scott in there, you had his amazing cinematographer, which I can't remember his whole name, but you know, of course, Joaquin Phoenix and Vanessa Kirby.
Right.
It's like you'd expect like top 10 to 20 movies of the year quality, and it's like not even that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a stacked cast, and like, yeah, but I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know what the intention really was behind like telling like this side of like Napoleon's story.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Michael, he described it as like so good as like a so bad's good movie. But like, I don't know about that though, because like
agree.
there's a lot of like good parts in it, and some bad parts.
I think that's a better way to put it.
Yeah, but that's the thing though. It's like, you know, I liked some of the movie. I mean, I especially love like the battle scenes. Those are awesome. Love them.
Pyramid stuff was apparently like completely fabricated though.
What you mean like them like shooting like cannons at the pyramids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that was for dramatic effect. I mean, you know, every biopic has like artistic leniency to some extent.
Right. That's
artistic
true.
Liberty. Yeah. But yeah, you know, yeah, like all the battle scenes were like really great. But that's the thing though, it's
I
like,
agree.
You know, yeah, there are some good parts, but on the whole, I wouldn't say it was good.
Probably go like I gave like a low 3 or high 2.5 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that should have been like a 3.5 to 4.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a 3 because like a 3 out of 5 because I'm a letterboxed cuck.
I rate films out of 4. So
yeah, but yeah, I like yeah, I enjoyed watching it. Like, don't get me wrong, like I had fun watching it, and like. You know, I guess, I mean, like, I know, like, I believe some articles was, like, Ridley Scott wanted, like, those sex scenes to be funny. Because, like, he said, like, sex scenes are just so boring, so I just decided just to make them funny. And I'm just like, I mean, he achieved it, but, like, I don't know why. Like, what was the point?
That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I guess that's the thing. It just feels like it's like just two different movies, colliding in each to any colliding against each other, and it's just like doesn't really mesh very well, you know. Like it's either like, you know, he wants to tell like this this crazy sex freaky love story between Napoleon and Josephine, and then also Napoleon the general. It's just like I don't know. Like I don't think it's like impossible. I just think the way they went about it was just like. It just didn't work out super well, so
In terms of movies, because of course that movie came out on Thanksgiving week, it was still better than Wish, I thought, which is basically just I thought Wish would have been like a fun, charming family fantasy movie, but instead it's just Disney the movie.
Yeah, I didn't go see it, but most, yeah, because of the reputation of it.
You are not missing out. I mean, if you ended up seeing it, go ahead. But if not, you're not missing out. It's yeah,
Yeah.
it just felt very smug too. Like the way it just the way like it tried to, I guess, quote unquote, celebrate 100 years of Disney. The way that its attempt, it just felt so smug and arrogant.
Yeah.
The way it was done, it just was like, what is this? Like,
Yeah.
an interesting quote that Jeremy Johns said, the critic, is like, this didn't feel like a celebration of 100 years of Disney. It felt like it was celebrating its 100th year of Disney. That's fair.
That's yeah, that's definitely fair. That's unfortunate. But I guess it's not really the surprise at this point. It's like Disney's just going down a downward trajectory. I don't know, but like might be a good thing actually, in my opinion, because it's just like, well, maybe because like now audiences like not seeing like superhero movies as much. The quality of like everything Disney has made, even their TV shows, has gone down a lot. And yeah, people are just not watching it, you know, because like I think everybody's kind of seeing now like you know, like what the quality is, and just like, you know, turning off from it. So you know, maybe this will give the leverage, you know, for some more creative voices to be a part of Disney again.
Yeah, so hope so.
I hope so too. So we'll see. We'll see. I do hope they don't make that Blade movie though, because like the way that the plot sounds is just really terrible. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know much about that, but like it's they like the main like Blade himself. I think it's gonna be played by Marshall.
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, Herschel
Yeah.
Ali. Yeah, Blade is not gonna be really that big part of the movie, which is.
That makes no sense. I mean,
That,
when he's
yeah,
your
it's so
title
stupid.
character,
Yeah.
like, and hope I didn't patronize with the correcting thing. I just wanted to help out,
No,
so.
yeah, no, I no, thank you, because I couldn't think
Okay.
of his name. I'm like, I'm terrible at names.
Yeah, I mean, when your character's Blade, but he's like the fourth main character, it's like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, he's more like the fifth. Like
Fourth.
more like a supporting character in his own movies. Like,
Wow.
yeah. Yeah, because like the story I think is like supposed to like follow like this like girl who gets like vampire powers basically, and then yeah, so basically it like has nothing to do with Blade like at all. It's like a whole, it's like a fan fiction, you
Wow.
know. Yeah, it's gonna be like the Ghostbusters, like those new movies now. That's like what's probably gonna be like.
Yeah, and it wasn't like with Babylon where like, yeah, Brad Pitt got top billing, but the main character was somebody else, which I mean makes sense because the main character wasn't a A-list star, or maybe it's still like a B-list or something.
Yeah, man, I don't know. So, well, that just goes to show just like what how Disney is like making all this stuff. It's just like, you know, you might as well just have monkeys on typewriters at this point, because like why not? You know, they could probably
I
come with
wouldn't
something
go
better.
that far, but I can't blame you.
That's how I feel. That's what I'm saying, but yeah.
By the way, Babylon was a strange ride.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I really like Whiplash, because that's from Damien Chazelle, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to see more of his movies. I haven't seen La La Land, and I haven't seen Babylon, so I heard a lot of
First
people are
man.
split on it. What did you think about it?
I thought it was pretty good. I would say the first half was better than the second half, but I hadn't seen it since like it came out in theaters. I am though like interested in watching it again at some point. I have it on 4K, so 4K disc to be exact.
Yeah, no, I mean the movie does look like amazing.
Yeah, shot on film, so.
Really cool. Yeah, so I definitely want to check that out at some point. Yeah, so some other movies I saw, I actually been watching some like Hong Kong cinema. Because I've been playing this PS3 game called Sleeping Dogs, which is fucking dope. It's a
Yeah, I've heard
classic.
about that.
It's a classic. It's awesome. It's like the most. It's like the best game I've ever played, where they got like martial arts right. It's like I mean, I guess like not only is it accurate, but you actually like really feel like you're doing like the martial arts in that game. And yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, it's like a Hong Kong crime thriller too. So it's really cool. So I've been kind of getting more into that, because a lot of the
That's
games were like inspired by a lot of like Hong Kong cinema. Particularly this one movie called Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, I've heard of
Yeah, I saw it a little while ago. And yeah, it's really good. It's basically about like these two guys who are like part of like the triad, which is like the Chinese mafia, basically.
that.
And sorry, go ahead.
Isn't the Infernals like the original The Departed?
I think that's what I heard like, The Departed was based off of.
Yeah, so I thought, yeah, I've seen The Departed, but not Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, that's funny because I have not seen The Departed yet, so I saw this one first. But yeah, no, it is. It's basically about like these two guys who are like part of the triad, but one of them is actually like an undercover cop who's like infiltrating them, and then the other guy, he's a police officer, but he's like spying for the triads. And then like the movie, like both the triads and the police department find out they have a mole in each other's organization. So it's like a race against time to figure out who it is before it's too late. So yeah, it's really fun. It's really cool. Definitely one of the most unique like crime movies that I've ever seen. I highly recommend it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll definitely plan to see it.
Yeah, it's part of a trilogy too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, which
So
is on Criterion, so.
It's really great. And then I saw another Hong Kong movie, a martial arts film called Encounters of the Spooky Kind.
Really, never even heard of that.
Dude, this movie is fucking bananas. Like, it's like so crazy.
Wow.
It's a martial arts horror movie, is what it is, and I think it's the only kind I know of, as far as I know.
Damn.
So basically, like the movie's about like this like kung fu master who's like dared to stay in this like haunted temple, this like abandoned temple, for like a whole night. And he just does it because like he just says he's like the bravest man in all China, basically.
Yeah.
So it's all hubris. And yeah, it's just like the whole movie is like it's him like fighting like fucking like the Chinese vampires, you know, like the ones that like jump around and stuff, and like fucking like spirits and like shamans, and he has like fights with magic. He gets like possessed by like the war god. It's and the ending, oh my God. I mean, I don't know if anybody has seen this movie, like you know what I'm talking about with that ending. It's fucking most insane thing I've ever seen.
All
So
righty, that's good to know.
you gotta watch it. You got it's so awesome.
So, what's the movie called?
Encounters of the Spooky Kind.
Okay, let me look that up.
Yeah, I think it was like made like in the 80s or 70s, I forget. But yeah, it's
1980.
1980, yeah, just so right there, right on the beginning of the 80s.
Righty,
Yeah,
good to know.
and the main guy who plays the lead character, Sammy Ho, he was also the director as well, and
Ah.
you know he's a yeah as you can see he's a heavy set dude, but like he moves like really fast. He's like incredibly quick with his kung fu, and yeah, he's like a genuine bona fide kung fu master, martial arts master, and he's also like he does like his own stunts, and like he's really yeah he's like very mobile, you know, like, you wouldn't guess from looking at him, but yeah, man, he's just like skills like zoom, dude. He's like
Nice.
yeah he's really good, and like he was like a part of like the Hong Kong like martial arts scene with like Jackie Chan and like Bruce Lee and all the big names from Hong Kong, Jet Li. So yeah, it's he was like a big part of like that forming the whole like big martial arts boom of like the 70s and 80s. from then in Hong Kong cinema. So
That's
yeah, that movie, you know, it's a good time. Like if you just feel like, yeah, if you just feel like you just want something kind of light and silly, and a little bit spooky, it's a good one. I recommend it. A lot of
Sounds
fun.
good.
A lot of fun.
Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, man, it's yeah, you gotta see it. It's fucking it's, it kills me. It slays me.
Alrighty.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think that's kind of mostly what I saw, other than I've been watching a lot of Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. Great show. Just yeah, really just such an amazing cast. And yeah, just Star Trek like has like a lot of like just like really incredible acting. And I don't know, I won't go too much into it because this is a movie podcast, not a Star Trek podcast, but yeah, no, it's but yeah, so I've been enjoying that. It's like, you know, it's like one of my comfort shows at the moment. But yeah, man, so that's basically how my week has been.
That's good.
Yeah, a lot of good movies. I'm gonna show you Amish Hallmark movie. But
yeah.
But you know, I did it for my friend. Like otherwise I would never have seen it. So
can't really blame you on that.
Yeah. All right. So you wanna get into Heat?
Yeah.
You feeling like that heat around the corner?
Yeah.
All
I'll
right.
just say that I mean the movie's like what, 28 years old?
Yeah.
It's a great action movie. Not only that, but it's a great thrill and a great drama and pretty excellent character piece too, especially between Neil and Vincent.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah, I mean, like between everybody, really, like the whole
Yeah.
cast is, I mean, it's fucking stacked. It's like, it's a talent grenade. You know,
Yeah.
You got Val Kilmer, you got John Voight, you got fucking Denzel Washington, who's
not
there for
Denzel
like,
Washington, Dennis Haysbert.
oh, okay. Oh, I was confused. Yeah.
Dennis Haysbert, Hank Azaria,
Hank Azaria, yeah.
Ashley Judd, Natalie
Yeah.
Portman, Tom Sizemore.
Yeah. It's yeah, it's wild. And of course the titular characters, Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. And my God, their chemistry is so smooth. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I just wish the movie was like longer, you know. It's like 3 hours, but man, it was like
2 hours and 50 minutes.
I know, but it's not enough. You know, I need more. I wish it was longer. Oh my God. Cause yeah, they're just so good. But yeah, how about you go ahead? How about you tell me your thoughts about it?
I thought that, I mean, yeah, the action scenes, the big bank robbing scene, both were great.
Yeah.
The finale was intense for sure. Some great tension in there. The character work for Neil, I thought, I mean, you kind of sympathize, you kind of feel for him,
yeah.
Even though he's like not like the greatest of guys, even though Vincent, while he's flawed himself, you are ultimately interested in his storyline with
yeah.
his relationship with his third wife, but also trying to care more about his stepdaughter.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And I thought the storyline about Chris, who's of course the Val Kilmer character, his family stories kind of was pretty interesting. The way I liked how Hank Azaria played into it and added tension and drama to, I mean, you got all these subplots, but it's all done well. It basically
yeah.
culminates in this one thing. It's shot well, the sound mixing stellar, and Collateral's my favorite Michael Mann movie. This I would say is number two.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the music by Elliot Goldenthal, if that's how I pronounce his last name, was pretty strong. How come it didn't get nominated for like best cinematography and best sound though?
I don't know, man. That is a crime. Like that is like, if you go back in time, I would just like, you know, hold like the Academy at gunpoint and just tell them just to give all the awards to Heat. Cause like
I wouldn't do that personally, but I would. Like, what the hell, really?
Yeah, at least one. Give him one award. Come on.
Sound.
Yeah.
Give a sound.
Give a sound. At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a crime. I mean, and since it's like been like so influential for like across like so many movies, you know, Christopher
Yes.
Nolan, obviously, like the Dark Knight series very much inspired by these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like basically every action movie since, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, like even Michael Bay probably has like take inspiration from this. Like I mean I like I actually because like I watched Ambulance like before I think I saw Heat, and I could, you know, they're actually like pretty similar in some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Den of Thieves is more so the Heat ripoff, though.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen it.
It's okay. It's all
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, I've heard as much.
All right.
Yeah, even like video games too, like Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5, they have missions that are like
Yeah.
literally straight out of this movie, like all the bank heists and stuff.
Yeah.
Hitman, like the Hitman series, like I was just like me and my friend Michael were watching it together, and like yeah, we were just like, yeah, this is just like Hitman, you know, like especially at the end when like Robert De Niro's character Neil is like going after Wingro, like yeah, he like puts on a disguise at the airport hotel and like fucking just, you know, cause that fire alarm, like that's all, like all that's everything you can do in Hitman. That's like what it feels like to play Hitman.
That
So
makes sense, yeah.
yeah, so yeah, like yeah, like this movie's like influence is just so enormous. It's like I we could just be here all day just talking about that alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, yeah, I mean, as for me, you know, I mean, I love it, dude.
Yeah.
This is my second time watching it. And yeah, I definitely taking notes this time. Like, I was definitely able to follow the plot a lot more because like you said, yeah, there's a lot of subplots, but it's a very tight movie. N nothing is wasted. Everything connects to each other. It makes sense. It all flows very well, very
Yeah.
seamlessly. But yeah, if you look away, if you look at your phone while watching it, you're gonna miss out. I mean, you're gonna get lost
Yeah.
like really fast because
You'll miss out a
it zips
lot.
by. Yeah, like it doesn't even like feel like 3 hours. It feels like an hour and a half movie. Which is amazing, you know, like that's how you know it's a good movie, when it's like the pacing is just like that
Yeah.
seamless.
I think it probably feels more like 2 hours than an hour and a half, but it's definitely not a slow 2 hours and 50 minutes, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it flies by, and like I said, like it's just like I wish it was longer.
Yeah, it fell shorter than Napoleon, which that theatrical was like 2 hours and 37 minutes.
Yeah, I definitely felt its length for sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
and Heat was like yeah, it was longer, you know. It didn't even feel like that. So
Yeah.
but yeah, but you know, I mean, like I feel like a lot of the movie is very much all about the vibes, you know. Michael Mann, he's kind of like the start of like I guess what we call like the vibes kind of movies, because like he made before this, he was involved with the show Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
No, but
Oh man.
I've seen he did Thief, he did The Last of the Mohicans, and he did Manhunter. So.
Yeah, also the movie version of Miami Vice that came out in like 2006 or something.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
Yes.
that one, but I heard it's really good.
Yeah, I thought the movie was fine. I thought it was all right. Better than Black Hat, but it's not like amongst my favorites.
But yeah, no, I was just gonna say, so like a lot of his style is like it's like very a lot of like the look of the movie is like very it's it, even though like it goes by quickly, it's still kind of it feels like very slow. It takes its time with like the
Yeah.
character. Like you really kind of you know just like really get into their lives, like a fly on the wall.
Yes.
I mean, like, yeah, you get like a really good understanding of like what everybody's like life is like, and the entire chaotic thing with them trying to juggle and balance like a regular like family life versus the insanity of dealing with like the crime world, whether they're a
Yeah.
robber or a cop. And you know, I that's like what I think is the most interesting about the movie, and like why it's such a you know why the story is so fascinating, is because like you have these guys who you can clearly see that with them like being this committed to their jobs, you know, even as like robbers too, it's like destroying their lives, but it is also like what they live for too, right?
Yeah,
it is like their purpose, and it's a rather twisted sort of an interesting kind of conflict there, you know. And I haven't like really seen any movie that's like really taken this approach. You know, it's just that unique.
That's pretty fair. Yeah. Yeah, I just can't believe the movie's almost 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks like it could be made today. It's just like, I mean, yeah, you know, we got like in digital format. I mean, I guess back then it might have been like that too.
Yeah. I think it was shot on film though.
Yeah, but like, it looks like a Christopher Nolan movie. You know, it's like, that's what I was going to say, you know.
Yeah,
it looks like that good. Like if it was like made today, like I couldn't really tell the difference, except for maybe just like some obviously some like cultural fashion and music and stuff. But
yeah, especially
other than that,
music.
Yeah. Like other than that, though, it's like it's a gorgeous looking movie.
Yeah.
And like you really get like an interesting sense of like what LA is like. You know, it is devoid of like all like the landmarks of LA, and it's just like kind of more. You know, like everything mostly takes place like either like all of the locations, you know, are just like a shipyard or a club in Koreatown or a diner or just a regular old bank.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's very much devoid of like the glamour of LA.
Yeah.
You know, the only like nice thing like we kind of see in the movie is like these guys like houses. You know, the death tech. You know, postmodernist bullshit, as Vince would say.
Yeah.
Oh man, we gotta talk about Al Pacino's lines at some point, but we'll get to that later. Because like, man, he's so good. But yeah, I think that's like I feel like that was very intentional, kind of showing, you know, this sort of crime world that's very much, you know, totally career based, right? It is totally just. These guys are just here for a job, and that's it. You know, it's not like you see like a Martin Scorsese movies or like a Coppola movie, like The Godfather or Goodfellas or like Sopranos, where you know you have these like established like you know crime families, but they very much have like all these like rules from the old country. They're very much, you know, they take like Catholic religion seriously. Well, you know, except for the whole mob thing, but I mean, I'm saying like culturally anyway. They do really act like a family. Like they're actually like, you know, more there for each other. They can rely on each other, you know, unless you cross them, obviously. But here, you know, you see this kind of crime organization where, you know, even with Neil at the head of it, you know, it's all, it doesn't really mean much. It's just like, they're just here just to do the job, get the money and go. That's it. They're not friends. Yeah. They're not comrades. They're just coworkers, basically.
Yeah.
So I find that like a really interesting aspect of the film, and yeah, kind of showing that kind of shift, from, you know, like what you see like again like a lot of mob movies, like these cultural centers, like Little Italy, like in New York and everything, and like, you know, very much a very more connected community. While here, this is just, you know. Again, this is just work. There is no community. It doesn't exist. So yeah, I guess I'm not totally sure like what that all means exactly, but I find that to be a fascinating aspect of the film.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, we should talk about the acting, dude. Like,
yeah.
It is the cast, I mean, again, so good, but I mean, fucking Robert De Niro, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino's lines are,
I know,
are great.
She's got a great ass.
Yeah, memorable. Better attempt than I would have done, which I'm not going to attempt an Al Pacino accent, but yeah,
you got your head all the way up it.
Yeah,
hoo-ah.
That's my Al Pacino. Great.
Oh, thank you. He's a hard voice to do. He's very like
great line. This great line though.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I read that was improvised actually. And Hank Azaria said like that scared the shit out of him. But I also read that Pacino, he actually kind of integrated, like, it's not shown in the movie, but I guess it could be more implied where Pacino said he kind of says, like, he felt like Vince would do like a lot of cocaine, so that's how he acted, like,
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
which kind of makes a lot of sense, because, like, with Vince, he's like very much addicted to like the just solving crimes, basically, and going and chasing after the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
After criminals. And kind of really showing, like, that, like, really, his family basically falls apart because of it.
Yeah.
And his life is like pretty much like in total turmoil, but only when he's the only when he puts on a when he acts like a detective, that's the only time that, like, everything is balanced and he's like in his zone,
Yeah.
So I feel that's an interesting dichotomy there. It's like they have, Pacino has him played as like somebody who's like addicted to cocaine while also addicted to this job that is, it is killing him.
Yeah, Neil's like more calm and calculated.
Yeah, but just as miserable. Yeah, Robert De Niro's character, he's like very subtle in comparison to
Yeah.
Vince. I guess anybody next to Al Pacino, even if they were handing it up, like, they couldn't outdo Al Pacino.
No.
But that's what makes it interesting too, that contrast is, like, he's a very calm demeanor, but there is, like, a very much like a like an inner sadness and resentment that you can get from him.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, like in the scene where he meets Edie at that diner, right?
Right.
Yeah, when they're just first meeting, and she just like asks him about like what book he's reading. He's just like, "Lady, why do you want to know what I'm reading? What do you want to know what I'm doing?" Like,
Yeah.
very, very cold.
Yeah.
Or even like the scene where, like, I forget after like which bank heist. I think it or not the bank heist, but I think it was like after the first caper. They all like go out to dinner, and Chris, Val Kilmer's character, has like his wife and kid there, and then, like, the others have like their wives and their family there, and then, just you see, like, Neil right in the center, and he just looks completely like lonely and like really uncomfortable, that he just does not want to be there.
Yeah.
Which is why he goes over to goes away and calls Edie, because, like, he gets a sense that at least she kind of understands him a little bit,
Yeah.
and nobody else does. Like I said, Neil doesn't have any friends.
No.
I think they
Not even with Val
mentioned. Oh,
Kilmer.
go ahead.
Not even with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, not even Val Kilmer either. Val Kilmer's character is pretty interesting with Chris,
Yeah.
because he's also quite an addict. I mean the whole movie is really about all these guys who are like. They're in this like for the thrill. They're kind of like daredevils in a way. They only feel good if they're robbing, they're doing it, they're making a heist or making a robbery, or in Vince's case, like going to get the people who are, committing the crimes, be a cop,
Yeah.
the thrill of the chase. Anyway, I was gonna say with Chris, it's established he has like gambling addiction, and
Yeah.
he takes a lot of high risks.
Yes.
And he's like borderline broke, I think. So essentially he kind of has to keep doing robberies, because, like, that is the only way he could really dig himself out of all these debts.
Yeah. Desperation.
Desperation, yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then that comes to a head when they do like the bank heist, when, like, he just sees the cops there, and then just decides to shoot them, taking that giant risk, for pretty much little reward, where he gets like literally like almost dies,
Yeah.
going through that whole shootout. So, yeah. I mean, just like really fascinating characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Neil, I find him like very fascinating, because, like, yeah, he's like kind of sympathetic, but he's also rather sociopathic too.
Yeah.
That's why he can't really get along with Edie, but he can get along with Vince like very easily. I mean, Vince isn't really a sociopath, I'd say. I think he's like a lot more empathetic. He's just like a very flawed person, that's all. But yeah, but yeah, you know, Neil feels disconnected from Edie, because, you know, she's like more of a, like, you know, like she said, like she feels like very lonely too, but, you know, she just lives, she still lives in like the regular world, you know, doesn't live with this crazy crime lifestyle. Doesn't have to be on the run or constantly moving or anything. Which is why ultimately, like you know, it would it couldn't work out. Even though Neil, like, really, like, you know, he does like love her, I think. I think he like he does like want to be with her, which is why, like, he, you know, like all the way to the end of the movie, that's he almost does, like, you know, get away. But still, but yeah, you know, when like the part where, like, she finds out, like, you know, that the cops are like after him, and, like, you know, he tells her, like, yeah, we gotta get going, we gotta go now. And then she literally runs for the hills. Because, like, she does, you know, this is not the kind of life that she wanted. Which I think is interesting, because, like, Neil, like, realizes, you know, that, you know, like, Neil is very much, you know, really reliant on rules, right? Like, he always talks about, he keeps quoting that line, you know, you gotta, like, you know, you gotta be ready to leave, like, your entire life in 30 seconds flat when you feel the heat around the corner, right? And yeah, and, you know, he's like, yeah, like you say, he's like very calculating and very much, you know, is very strict on that. So, which is rather ironic because he's a criminal, right? But that's what makes him so good too at being, you know, at being a robber. So, you know, he knows a plan. He knows, like, all the rules of how to do it, and that's the only life he knows. And Edie, you know, she's to him, she's like unpredictable. He doesn't know how to handle that. Chaos in that sense is not in his plan, basically. Which is very much how a sociopath thinks, I think, you know.
Absolutely. Anyway, sorry to cut short the movie real quick, though I know I do need to get to dinner and stuff, but
Oh, sure, yeah.
totally agree. Fantastic movie. Definitely one of the better crime movies probably ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, man, just so great. I mean, my favorite scene personally is probably the coffee shop scene. I think that's, like, most people's favorite. But yeah, that one is great. Just, like, really revealing, like literally, like, the psyches of the characters. You know, they talking about each other's, like, dreams and everything, and you know, they're the these two guys, they it's they need each other, basically. They're the only two people who understand each other, which is why at the end, like, you know, that's why I think, like, Al Pacino holds his hand at the end. It's like he's the only guy, Neil was the only guy who understands Vince. And, you know, he just killed the old a guy he probably could have been friends with, or maybe kind of considers a friend in a twisted way. So
But
yeah, but what about you? What would you say is your favorite scene?
before I head out, my favorite scene's probably the big climax shootout, but the coffee shop scene's great too.
Oh man, that ending. Oh man. So good. Like, it's so quiet. They don't say a word to each other. It's very yeah, I don't know. It's
For the
just
brief dialogue at the end, though.
It's just like such a mood, such a vibe. But yeah. What's your rating?
Four out of four.
Yeah. 5 out of 5. No,
That's
no
fair.
question. No question. It's a classic crime thriller movie. Really awesome. Oh, you know what I should have said? I should have said spoilers.
Well, the
God.
movie's almost 30, so.
I know, but like, you know, still, I mean, it's Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you know, can't go wrong. But yeah. All right, man. Well, I'll let you get going, but before I go, I will say, so for my pick for next time, I'm doing another one that's on par with Heat, so I've heard, just as good with the acting, and its production. We'll be doing a Muppets Christmas Carol. I've never seen it, actually. So,
Neither, so
really? Really? Okay, I'm surprised. This is like everybody I know has seen this. But you know, it's gonna be in the spirit of this, and yeah. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited to check it out. We'll have Michael Caine in it. So that'll be good.
Good.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll let you go, and yeah, we'll set up for next time.
Ghost, that
Yeah.
was nice chatting.
You wanna end the podcast?
So, it's good to see everybody, and it's good to talk to you, Daniel. We'll be on sometime in the future.
Yeah, we didn't plan for next up when we're gonna do the next episode, but sometime in the future. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. All right, man. Take care. And
Thank you too.
yeah, and good night, everybody.
Everyone, good night, Daniel.